Have you ever watched a 7-year-old step into a cockpit for the first time? The eyes go wide. They see the panels, the switches, the view through the windshield. The captain crouches down and points out the altimeter, the throttles, the yoke. The kid walks off that airplane changed. Maybe they go home and tell their parents they want to fly someday. That moment costs the airline nothing. And for a long time, it was one of those small, unremarkable things that made flying feel like something more than a bus route in the sky. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about a policy change out of American Airlines that has their most loyal frequent flyers genuinely upset and asking whether it was necessary at all. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, now let's get into it. American Airlines has tightened its protocols around pilot interaction with passengers. The specifics, as reported by Simple Flying, involve restrictions on the kinds of direct engagement pilots can have with the traveling public, from flight deck access to the informal back and forth that frequent flyers have come to expect when they're boarding or deplaning. The headline that's making the rounds is blunt: passengers are frustrated, particularly the ones who fly American dozens of times a year, who know the crews, who have built a relationship with the airline over years of loyalty. And here's the thing. I understand that frustration, I do, but I also want to walk you through this from the other side of the cockpit door, because the forces that shape these policies are real, and they don't always make it into the passenger-facing narrative. Let's start with security. Since September 2001, the regulatory environment around cockpit access has fundamentally changed. The Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation Security Administration have worked to harden what they call the sterile cockpit zone, not just in the air, but increasingly on the ground. The concept is straightforward. The flight deck is a restricted area, and access to it should be controlled, logged, and deliberate. When a well-meaning gate agent waves three kids through to take photos with the captain during boarding, nobody is checking IDs. Nobody is logging who just got a look at the egress procedures or the avionics layout. Now, is that an imminent threat every time? No, probably not. The vast majority of cockpit visits are exactly what they look like. Parents creating a memory for their children. And crew members being kind, but from a security architecture standpoint, you cannot build a policy on probably fine. You build it on controlled access and documented procedure, and when airlines audit those procedures, informal cockpit visits are usually the first thing that gets flagged. That's the security side. Then there's the operational side. And this one is where the rubber really meets the runway for working pilots. American Airlines, like every major carrier operating under Federal Aviation Regulations Part 121, has crews that are managing complex pre-departure checklists, crew rest calculations, dispatch coordination, and weather evaluation all simultaneously during the boarding window. That's not the relaxed part of the day. That's one of the most cognitively loaded phases of the entire operation. When a pilot is running through the before start checklist or coordinating with the dispatcher about a routing change due to convective weather over the Mississippi Valley or reviewing a NOTAM about a runway closure at the destination, that is not the moment to have a passenger knock on the door because they saw the flight attendant point them forward. The regulations actually have something to say about this. The sterile cockpit rule, codified in FAR 121.542, requires that crew members not be distracted from their duties during critical phases of flight. Those critical phases include taxi, takeoff, and landing. But any experienced line pilot will tell you that the 10 minutes before pushback can be just as cognitively demanding as the first 500 feet of climb. So when American Airlines says their pilots need to be heads down during boarding, that is not bureaucratic overcaution. That is operationally sound. Here's what you need to know about where the passenger frustration is actually coming from. It is not entirely about cockpit access. A significant part of it is about the erosion of what frequent flyers describe as the human connection with the crew. The captain who used to step out of the flight deck to greet a first-class passenger by name. The first officer who used to stand at the door on deplaning and talk shop with the guy in seat 2A who happens to hold a private certificate. Those moments of genuine engagement, those are what loyal customers feel like they're losing, and that's a legitimate thing to grieve because those moments are what separate an airline from a commodity, when every seat is a number and every crew is interchangeable. You've stopped selling aviation, you've started selling a ticket. The headline doesn't tell the whole story though, because the question Simple Flying is really asking is whether this policy achieves its stated goal at a cost that makes sense, and that's actually a hard question. Let me give you some numbers to think about. American Airlines is one of the largest carriers in the world. They operate roughly 1,000 flights per day. If you multiply that across a year, you're looking at somewhere around 350,000 departures. The number of security incidents that have originated from an informal cockpit visit by a passenger during boarding is, to the best of publicly available knowledge, effectively zero. So is the threat real, or is this risk mitigation theater? Here's my take, and I'll flag this as opinion because that's what it is. Security policies in aviation rarely get rolled back once they're in place. The instinct is always to add layers, never to subtract them, and some of those layers provide genuine protection. Others are what security researchers call security theater. They create the appearance of rigor without measurably reducing risk. The challenge for any carrier is figuring out which is which. What American is navigating right now is a post-pandemic operational environment where crew shortages, scheduling pressure, and union dynamics have all converged into a very complicated labor situation. And when you're running a pilot workforce that is already stretched, you want every minute of pre-departure time protected, because mistakes during boarding, distracted checklists, missed items, rushed procedures, those are where operational errors tend to originate. So even if the security calculus is ambiguous, the operational calculus may not be. Protecting that cockpit window might be as much about workload management as it is about threat mitigation. Now, the airline passenger perspective deserves a fair hearing too, because American's A-Advantage members, particularly the Executive Platinum and Concierge Key Flyers, have built a relationship with this airline over years and sometimes decades. They are not casual travelers who got a deal on an aggregator site. They are people who chose American repeatedly, often at a premium. When an airline changes the terms of an unwritten social contract without explanation, those customers feel it. And the communication piece is where American has a real problem here. If you're going to implement a policy that changes the experience for your most loyal customers, you have an obligation to explain it. Not in the form of a corporate press release full of phrases like enhanced protocols and updated operational procedures, but in plain language, here's what we changed. Here's why. Here's what we think it achieves. That explanation has been largely absent from this rollout. And in that vacuum, the interpretation defaults to the least charitable read, that the airline is cutting a service that costs them nothing, for reasons they don't want to fully articulate. That is a customer experience problem, and it has nothing to do with whether the policy itself is sound. Let me bring this back to the pilot's perspective, because that's ultimately where I live. If I'm an American Airlines captain and someone asks me whether I want a tighter cockpit protocol during boarding, I'm probably saying yes, because I want that checklist done right. I want my first officer focused on the departure briefing. I want the pre-departure paperwork completed without me having to manage an informal queue of passengers who want to see the overhead panel. But I'm also the person who on the other side of that door remembers why I started flying. I remember the first time someone let me sit in the left seat of a Cessna 172 on a ramp in Michigan and talk to me for 20 minutes about what it felt like to break through the clouds. That conversation changed my life. Those moments matter. The aviation community knows they matter. That's how we recruit the next generation of pilots. That's how we keep the culture alive. The trick, and this is what American hasn't quite figured out, is how you protect operational integrity without accidentally extinguishing the spark that makes people fall in love with aviation in the first place. There may be a middle ground here. Designated interaction windows after the cockpit door is locked and the pre-departure checklist is complete. A formal procedure for crew to step out at the gate before boarding begins for brief passenger engagement. A way to signal to a kid waiting in the jetway that yes, after we push back and reach altitude, the captain is going to come say hello. Those aren't impossible accommodations. They just require intentional design rather than a blanket restriction. The aviation community will be watching how American navigates the pushback on this one. Because if the policy holds and the explanation never comes, the frequent flyers who are upset today become the competitors' customers tomorrow. In an industry where brand loyalty is genuinely hard to earn and remarkably easy to lose, that's a risk worth taking seriously. I pulled from Simple Flying's reporting on this and cross-referenced it against Federal Aviation Regulation Part 121 Protocols and TSA Flight Deck Security Guidelines. More at radiohangar.com. Keep the cockpit sterile when it counts. And when you're back on the ramp, remember that the kid watching from the fence might be your first officer someday. Blue skies!